It's 9:05 at Westmere Primary School in central Auckland. The Year 6 kids are outside exercising, but Room 7 is late, and it's our fault. Before they left their class, we asked all the kids to put their lunchboxes on their desks. We also asked them to indicate with a tick those that had eaten breakfast. None of the kids had any idea we were coming. Look at these lunchboxes. The Heart Foundation would be proud. There's a mix of simple, artistic, and elaborate, but almost all are healthy and nutritious. This smoked salmon and cream cheese bagel wouldn't be out of place in one of the local cafes. So of the 24 students in the class, 23 had breakfast this morning. When it comes to lunch, all 24 had a packed lunch. Two kids were also going to buy something. And when it comes to fruit, all but two had at least one piece of fruit. Eight had three pieces of fruit or more. 20 minutes away is Sir Edmund Hillary Collegiate. Like Westmere School, we asked one unsuspecting Year 6 class to show us their lunches. Here they are. The picture couldn't be more different or heartbreaking. For every empty desk, there's a kid who won't be eating morning tea, who will have nothing for lunch. And don't be fooled by the chairs, they're all taken. If there isn't a bag, it's because the student doesn't have one. Six 10-year-old Kiwi kids sit at this table. Only two have lunch. And what a lunch it'll be. Imagine this throw at 2 in the afternoon. All four kids keenly doing their maths and spelling, hungry to learn? Yeah, right.
So how many of you remember seeing that piece on Campbell Live? So it doesn't matter how many times I actually watch this, it still affects me in the same way that it did the very first time I saw it. And I remember the day after seeing it at work, everybody was talking about it. And I think, like most Kiwis, I wasn't aware we actually had this kind of problem in New Zealand. So 27% of kids, so that's 290,000 children, are currently living in poverty in New Zealand. So they're missing out on essential basics such as warm housing, adequate clothing, shoes, and access to nutritious food. We estimate that there are 25,000 kids going to school every day in New Zealand without lunch. Now that, to me, is unacceptable in a country like ours. And food isn't a privilege. It's a basic human right. And I believe everyone should have access to healthy, nutritious food every day, especially children. So as a working mum with two young kids, I guess I didn't know what I could actually do to help solve this issue. And I'd spent my career marketing big household food brands, such as Cadbury, Bluebird Chips, and worked for big companies like Unilever and Fonterra. So I knew how to market food, but I just didn't know how to get food to the kids who actually need it. One night, I happened to be wearing a pair of Tom's shoes. So Tom's is a company in the US where for every pair of shoes you buy, they donate a pair to kids in developing country. And that night, I was having a couple of glasses of wine with my friend, and I looked down at my shoes, and I thought, well, why can't we do this for lunches? And it seemed like a really simple solution, and everybody eats lunch every day. So the idea is that customers go online, they order to have a fresh, healthy lunch delivered to them at their workplace, and for every lunch they buy, we give one to a Kiwi kid in need. And we called it Buy One, Give One. So that... That same night, I came up with the name, and 7 months later, I quit my corporate job. And with my business partner and renowned chef, Michael Meredith, we launched Eat My Lunch from my home kitchen. So we had optimistically projected that we could probably sell and give 50 lunches a day for the first year. And Michael had come into my home and he was like, there's no way, Lisa, we can make more than 200 lunches out of this kitchen a day. We had no money for marketing. We knew this was an unresearched and quite a new and unproven concept. And so 200 lunches a day seemed like something that was maybe a year, 18 months down the track for us. That first week, we did sell 50 lunches a day. And then in the second week, our orders actually went up to 200 lunches a day. And in the third week, we were selling 400 lunches a day. And by our 12th week, we had actually hit our three-year forecast. So we were able to make more than 200 lunches a day by out of our house by using every single inch and corner and floor space that we could find. But after the first 6 months, we were served an abatement notice by the city council asking us to move because we were creating too much traffic in the street and our neighbours had complained. In our first 6 months, we also received around $2 million worth of free PR. And we now operate in Auckland, Hamilton, and Wellington, employing 37 permanent staff. We have also expanded our products from just lunches, but we also obviously do morning and afternoon teas, breakfasts, and last year we launched Eat My Dinner, so a heat and eat healthy dinner option that's delivered to homes. In the 2.5 years that we've been going, we've raised over $1 million in capital through crowdfunding. And then last year, we also brought in Foodstuffs North Island as a strategic investor and recently made our lunches and dinners available in their New World stores. But most importantly, in the last 2.5 years, we have given over 740,000 lunches to kids in 66 low-decile schools. So we're currently feeding over 2,200 kids a day. That's 11,000 lunches a week, 110,000 lunches every school term. Wow. Now, people often ask, so, you know, how have we actually been able to do what we've done in a relatively short period of time? And the first thing is our business model. So given my kind of corporate and commercial background, we decided to set Eat My Lunch up as a for-profit company, not a charity. And the reason for that is that I strongly believe every organisation, whether it's profit or not-for-profit, or a charity, has to be financially sustainable. As someone once said to me, you have to be a capitalist to be a socialist. And I think, you know, some traditional charities run into issues when they rely solely on donations and external funding. And Professor Muhammad Yunus is really the kind of godfather of social enterprise, and he pioneered microfinancing in Bangladesh. And I had the pleasure of meeting him last year. And as he kind of put it really nicely, is that charity is a form of trickle-down economics. And if that trickle stops, then so does the help for the needy. Which is why Eat My Lunch is a commercial and a successful commercial enterprise. We make money to be self-sustaining and scalable. But at the heart of everything we do is our purpose. So our social goal is not a nice to have, it's not a bit of an add-on, it's not an afterthought. It is absolutely core to who we are. And it drives all our decisions, guides our values, and helps us attract customers and staff. So buy one, give one isn't just a customer proposition, but it's also how we operate. And it's the filter for everything we do. So on the buy side of Eat My Lunch, it's what we call the head or the commercial side of Eat My Lunch. It ensures that we have really good commercial rigor and execution. And the give side is the heart of who we are. So whatever we do has to enable us to feed more kids. And these two parts are intrinsically linked. So there's no either or. Everything has to deliver on both. And it's really evident across all of our business, from our product to our communications to our supplier relationships and staff recruitment. So if you, for example, look at our product, from the start we knew we had to have a highly competitive and, well, we knew we had to win in a highly competitive and challenging fresh food industry. You know, we're competing with every cafe and catering company and restaurant in Auckland. And so we needed a product that was better. And so we looked at, you know, big trends around health, the move back to real food, the need for convenience, and of course value. So we didn't have money for research, so we went onto our competitors' Facebook pages. And we trawled through all of their customer comments to kind of find out why people were buying from them and what were some of the things that people weren't happy about with our competitors. And one of the key issues that we found with subscription services like MyFoodBag is that people were frustrated that they had to commit to an entire week's worth of food and the lack of flexibility around that. So from the outset, we designed a subscription service where our customers have the choice of how many times they want lunch a week and which day of the week they want it delivered. So there's no minimum. So we'll deliver one lunch to one customer in one workplace if that's what they want. And when we launched, we priced our lunch at $10 per lunch, including delivery. Now, you know, in Auckland, you can easily spend, you know, $14, $15, $16 on lunch at a cafe. And so we really wanted to make it super easy and break down all the barriers so that everyone can participate. We also saw that customers were complaining about variety. And so our menu changes every day. In fact, we don't even tell customers what they're going to get. So it's a bit of a surprise. And the feedback that we get is that when the lunch arrives, particularly in an office, you know, people crowd around the reception or someone's desk to see what's in the lunchbox for that day. So at the most kind of basic level, we knew we had to deliver a product that was better. But what really makes us different and what really drives purchase is our purpose. So we've been able to win preferred supplier contracts with big corporates like Air New Zealand because of the giving side of what we do. So the CEO, Christopher Luxon at Air New Zealand, has mandated that every meeting that happens at Air New Zealand has to be catered by Eat My Lunch. And that's at board level down to, you know, ground crew training. And every quarter we report back to them how many lunches Air New Zealand has given as a total organisation, and that actually goes into their report to their board. In their very first year, Air New Zealand gave over 20,000 lunches. Wow. And because of our purpose, our customers are also incredibly forgiving. When we first started, we actually thought we would do the deliveries of the lunches ourselves because, yeah, we thought, well, how hard is it to deliver 50 lunches a day, right? But in the second week, obviously, when our orders had quadrupled, we struggled to deliver all of that. And we had a lunch delivered to a customer at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And I still remember that day really clearly because I was just so mortified that our customer had missed his lunch. And he was a teacher at a school, so he had missed his lunch break. And it was only our second week of operating. But he was so lovely and so understanding, and he's actually been one of our most loyal customers since. A couple of months ago, we took an 8% price increase across all of our products. And not only did we not get any negative feedback at all, but our volume that week was up 70% versus the previous year. And we even had customers actually contact us, telling us that they were glad we put our prices up. So in all my time working in big corporates, I've never heard of consumers being happy about a price rise, especially Kiwis, who we know are incredibly price conscious. We also have a learning model at Eat My Lunch, which is very much we do, we learn and adapt. So our product development cycle is typically around 2 weeks, which means that we can react incredibly fast. And for example, in the first week we had feedback from our customers that they found the portions in the lunch boxes too small. And instead of 5 items, they would prefer to have 4. Within 48 hours, we were able to change that. 8 weeks after we launched, Lord, the singer, her agent got in touch with us. And Lord wanted to support Eat My Lunch, but didn't need a lunch for herself. And instead, she wanted to give both lunches to the kids. So 2 weeks later, Lord launched for us a new product and was the first customer of something we called Give Two. So instead of one lunch going to you, both lunches go to the kids. She posted on Instagram to her 2.7 million followers and on Facebook to another 6 million people worldwide. And the very next day, we had Give Two orders from people in London, Vancouver, New York, and Australia. So we have a real strong customer focus as part of that buying side of Eat My Lunch to ensure that, you know, we have a commercially successful model. But our customers aren't just the people who buy our lunches. We also view the schools and the kids as customers. So when I visited some of the schools, I noticed that a lot of the kids are actually overweight. And it's not because they're eating a lot, but what they were eating were highly processed, cheap foods, as you saw in that video. So our lunches are made fresh every day for the kids. They're packed with veggies, with protein, and we also change the menu for them every day to give them some variety. So we have a really strong philosophy that if it's food we won't feed our own kids, we don't give it to these kids. Because I don't subscribe to the fact or the opinion that just because it's free, it means the recipients should be grateful for whatever they get. And I think if anything, these kids need more nutrition, not less. So sometimes what this means is that the ingredients that we use cost a bit more. So, for example, we only use multigrain or brown bread and not the cheaper white bread. But it is the right thing to do. I also noticed that in some of the schools, some of the food that was being donated took a lot of time to prepare. And teachers were actually spending time outside of the classroom getting the food ready. So the lunches that we provide require no preparation, and they're packed in plain brown paper bags that are easy to hand out. And it also looks like something that the kids could have bought from home themselves, so there's no stigma around it. At a particular school in Papakura, which is a Decile 1A school, so for those of you who are unaware as I was, that's lower than a 1. And that pretty much means that all of the families are struggling. And the principal had called us and asked if we could provide lunches to all 165 kids at the school. The first day we delivered lunches to them, I rang the principal and asked her how the kids had enjoyed the lunch, because we normally get really positive feedback about the food. But she told me that the kids a lot of them didn't eat their lunch that day. And instead that they had saved them up to take them home because they didn't know when they would next be fed. So food security is incredibly important. And that's why when we bring on a school onto the Eat My Lunch program, we commit to that school every single day. And there's no expiration on the date. It's just for as long as there's a need. So while we have 36 staff to make the lunches for our buying customers, we also every morning have around 30 to 35 volunteers who come in at 6:30 to make lunches for the kids. So why do we have volunteers when we're not a charity? And, I think one of the questions people asked, particularly at the start, is surely this goodwill is going to run out. In the 2.5 years, we've had over 10,000 people come and volunteer, and we currently have a waiting list of 2 to 3 months for volunteering. So we have had policemen, surgeons, students, CEOs, lawyers, musicians, basically anyone that can butter bread can come and be a part of it. And what I really love is that when you come in and put on an apron, everyone is the same. You know, so you can have a CEO standing next to a student, but everyone is there for the same reason. And all the volunteers leave knowing that all the lunches they made that morning will make a difference to over 2,000 kids that very same day. And what I've found is that people genuinely want to give back. You know, there is so much goodness out in our community. And Eat My Lunch has really just provided an easy vehicle for them to do that. Our volunteers have also been a really great source of potential employees for Eat My Lunch. And in fact, most of our staff started off as volunteers. It's a really great screener for people because we have people who already have great values alignment and really believe in our mission. And because of what we do, people are willing to come to work for less than the market rate for us, which is great for a little startup. I even had someone who messaged me on LinkedIn a couple of months ago saying that she would work for 50% less than her current salary because she just wanted to be involved in something meaningful. So our recruitment strategy is a little bit loose, but it generally works out. Just last week, we actually had someone come in and for a potential role as a chef. And he said the first thing that he felt when he walked in to Eat My Lunch was happiness. We have an incredibly engaged and loyal team. Many have started with us from the beginning in our house. And on our first birthday, I gave each one of our team an envelope filled with $100 cash, and they had an hour to go and buy a gift for themselves. And then they had to come back and show everyone what it was that they had purchased. Two of the guys, within that hour, went to a tattoo parlor, negotiated with the owner down from $150 to $100, because that's all they had, and they came back with the Eat My Lunch logo tattooed on their arms. So I don't have photos, but it is a true story. Our values also extend to our partners. So when we started, a lot of suppliers didn't even want to talk to us or help us because we were an unproven concept. The bank that we were with actually wouldn't even lend us money. And the bank manager told us, in his own words, that he thought Eat My Lunch was a stupid idea. We have changed banks. But we've been extremely fortunate to have found partners who really believe in what we do. And in fact, we don't even have to find them. They come and find us. So a couple of months after we started, a Frenchman walked off from the street into our home. And he was from Brink's Chicken. And he'd seen on TV that we used 60 kgs of chicken a week. And he said, well, how would you guys like that for free? So every week, not only do they provide us for free chicken, which means that the kids get chicken in their sandwiches. Last year, Brink's ran a promotion. So for every 2 packs of their chicken that people bought in New World, they gave a lunch through Eat My Lunch. Now, they estimated over the 6-month promotion period that they would give us 8,000 lunches. In the first week that this ran in New World, they gave us 8,100 lunches. And by the end of the 6 months, they gave us 50,000 lunches. So we have many examples of this. You know, Mini does a buy one, give one on our cars for our delivery fleet. Lego provides free Lego every year to all of the kids, and they've also adopted a school, paying for all of their give lunches for a year so we could bring on more schools. Our logo is on the back of every pump water bottle sold in New Zealand. Cafe La Fare heard that we were opening in Wellington, and they gave us space in their roastery to set up a kitchen, rent-free for 10 years. And what do all of our partners want in return? Well, nothing. They just genuinely want to be a part of it and to help us because they really believe in our mission and the impact that we can have on this future generation. But I think the impact is best expressed by the kids themselves. We receive a lot of letters and things from the kids, so I just wanted to share a few with you. The first one says, I'm thankful for the spare lunches you guys give because it's better than having no food to eat and let yourself starve and then walk around asking for food. Hello, at my last school, I used to stay at home if I had no lunch. Now I come to school every day. My favourite sandwich is tuna. And Max says, thanks for providing nice food. It makes me learn more and think more better. Thank you very much for doing this. I think what Eat My Lunch has shown is that when you marry together a commercial model with a social purpose, you can create a lot of value, not just for shareholders, but your customers, partners, staff, and of course for the community. You know, as a business community, I think it is as much of as our responsibility to help solve social problems as it is the government's or the other community groups. And in that kind of business community, it's what people are demanding now from companies. Earlier this year, Larry Fink, who's the CEO of BlackRock, the world's largest investment company, wrote a letter to all the other CEOs. And he says that society is demanding that companies, both public and private, serve a social purpose. And to prosper over time, every company must not only deliver financial performance, but also show how it makes a positive contribution to society. So our goal is to feed the 25,000 kids in New Zealand every day who are going to school hungry. And I'm pretty hopeful that we will be able to get there with people like you and people like us. So I'd like to leave with you this little video.
So Eat My Lunch is, you know, it takes away, it's a little bit of help for a family that are already under huge, huge stresses. We had a huge number of children who didn't come to school because they just, parents, you know, they were embarrassed and didn't want to see
them. That's crazy.
Yeah. So once Eat My Lunch came, it was kind of just really exciting. And the kids enjoyed it. They really loved them. There's no one's embarrassed. Nothing at all. What we do is make sure there's always it's a core group of kids who we know never bring lunch, and we always make sure that they're the first. So we allocate to those children straight away, and then children vary, and who bring lunches, depending on what's happening at home. But there's a core group that does have it every day. It's people like you and it's people like us that have to support them so we can get equity.
Thanks for that, Lisa. That was incredible. Was that not incredible? I learned so much about that. I mean, I love the fact that 11,000 lunches, it's just incredible. And what I actually love about it, I've got a couple of questions that I'd like to ask you. Is that cool? You can take it off and we can kind of have a chat if you want. Yeah, be good. But one thing I was thinking about as you were talking was, as someone who's come up with an incredibly great idea, but yet has built a business that's commercially viable, how do you wrestle personally the head versus heart thing? You know, you were talking about the head of the company versus the heart, and I think a lot of us out there are the same, right? Like, big hearts to do big change. So how do you wrestle with that in your own world?
It's funny because I know people really struggle with that kind of purpose and profit, but for me it was actually incredibly logical, and I think that's coming from my background, that you have to have money to do good things. And I've seen, and I've worked on a lot of charities, and seen other charities have to close or lessen their services because they can't get enough donations, or and being from a corporate where we were
sponsoring charities, every year that budget just got smaller and smaller. And so it just seemed really logical to me to not have to rely on that external funding, which could be cut in a year. And I never, ever wanted to be able to go to a school and say, I'm sorry, we can't give you lunches anymore. So that kind of whole sustainability side of it, I think, is really important. And also, it's such a massive problem. You know, we're talking 25,000 kids throughout New Zealand every day. To be scalable, you need money.
Absolutely.
And so, again, I go back to, you know, what someone told me is that to be a socialist, you have to be a capitalist. You have to have money to do good work.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That's really good. I'm super passionate about that as well. I think the sustainability piece for me is so important. You also talked a bit about adaptability. So one of the things that I love is that you've adapted along the way, even in 2.5 years. Most businesses would be like, okay, cool, this is our 3-year plan. And as you said, within 12 weeks, you'd already reached your 3-year plan. I mean, I'd love that, right? All those targets we've set for 12 months. I'm like, I'm looking at our like cards and postcards going, wow, okay, 12 weeks would be awesome. But, you know, obviously as a growing company and someone who's stepped out into this with your business partner, how do you guys continually be adapting? And what are some of the things that you search for to help keep you on the forefront, so to speak?
So we have an incredible advisory group. So I think surrounding yourself with the right people, and they love what we do, but they're also incredibly challenging. So we'll get into these meetings. It's never what I plan the meeting to be. And, you know, they'll just constantly challenge us to keep thinking forward and thinking ahead. So we're very, very lucky to have that. But also just, I always go back to, we've got to listen to our customers and what they want. And so I stay very close to our customer services team. I read every, you know, comment on Facebook and other social media platforms, because that's where everyone loves to go and complain. And, you know, and just, and our attitude is very much, we don't research things to death. Well, we don't research things, really. but also, it's the mentality of a startup with no money, is that let's just do it, try it, and then we'll learn and then adapt. And that's just how we've done things. And it's pretty much how Eat My Lunch started. We were just sick of people talking about things. And we're like, let's just do it. Let's take action. And you know, and I think it's the only way you're really going to learn.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in saying that, what would be your biggest challenges that you've faced so far in taking this idea and actually expanding your influence with it, you know?
I mean, the growth was so unexpected. Like, every week we're out buying trestle tables, and but people, you know, and I think everyone says that, but it's so true. And you know, we're only as good, and we can only grow as quickly as the people that we have in our team. And as you grow, it becomes even more challenging. So when we first started in our home, everyone wanted, like, our friends and family, like, we'll come and help you and we'll come and work for you, which is great. But then when you're kind of growing, you actually need to have the right expertise and the right skills. But I think the strong values and that values alignment has really done us a great service, because we have people who will just give us 150% because they love what we do.
Yeah, I love that social purpose you're talking about. Like, it becomes the filter through everything that you do. Does that go across every area of your business, like from the people you employ to the products and the partners you partner with as well?
Yeah, absolutely everything. Yeah. So, I mean, we've had a lot of other partners or potential corporate companies come to us and say, we'd love to partner with you guys, but we want X, Y, and Z, or this is just a marketing campaign for us, and we want our logo on your website. And we just go, sorry, we just don't do that.
Yeah, well,
you know, you're either here because you genuinely believe in what we want to do, or, you know, and say, do we need...
We're beeping, we're all good.
We're beeping, we're all good. Yeah, so everything we do, so every product, so, you know, every dinner gives a lunch. We did a cookbook last year that gives a lunch. So everything is about how do we get to those 25,000.
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, it's all about, totally the 25,000. We've got a question from the back, yeah?
Thank you. I'm Eddie.
Hey, Eddie, I met you last night.